Last Tuesday on the BBC, I used ChatGPT to analyse a stock, the earnings of UBS. Let's look at the results and actually let's see how good it is at stock picking more generally. And I've put together a little presentation. So that was me on the BBC with Sally Bundock. And I made a point to her that how many times has she and I over the last 20 years seen earnings and had to analyze them because we get a wad of documents from a company. In this case, it was only 15 pages from UBS and give an instant reaction. So I put it into ChatGPT to avoid cognitive biases. But I want to go beyond that. I don't just want to talk about that. I want to talk about actually how do you pick stocks more generally and can ChatGPT help us to do that? So let's have a look at it. First of all, just going back to the UBS, I think it was a British TV first. Cut and pasted, put it into ChatGPT. I'm currently using version 4 and it's the paid version and that was fine. And actually the outputs were rather good. It summarized 15 pages. I could have put in more detailed prompts, such as pretend you are a forensic accountant, for instance. Pretend you're a TV presenter who is cynical about earnings results and you've only got 3 minutes in which to convey the significant parts of these earnings. Could have put in all those prompts, and that's the great thing about this. Now let's move on to stock selection. I put this data in. This is where it gets really interesting. I put in not just what you see on screen, but actually the data in segments, because there's a limit to how much data you can put into one go into ChatGPT, in segments of 10,000 stocks across a variety of parameters, not just the ones you see on screen. Okay, now that gets interesting. Then what happened? By the way, this is how it looks inside ChatGPT once you insert it. You and I could barely make sense of it. The great news is, It can work out which were the columns and where they belong and where the next stock starts. So at least that makes your life a hell of a lot easier. What were the prompts and improvements I asked it to help me select stocks? By the way, we did some back testing as well. We gave it historic data and saw what happened. Wait till you see that, it'll blow your socks off. So I asked it, give me insights. Then I realized, you know what? I need to go into a bit more detail than that. I said, if you have to guess which of these stocks would likely do the best in the next 12 months. And guess is not a good thing. So I said, well, pretend you're Warren Buffett. And this is an academic exercise because, of course, it doesn't want to give financial advice, and rightly so. So you've got to play around with it a bit. And of course, I could have improved those prompts even more. I'm not an expert. I'm sure many of you have got comments. Do let me know, because I'm reading quite a lot about this at the moment. I also said, give me even more detailed multi-factor analysis, because it was just giving me too simple analysis. It could give me stuff I could read on the screen anyway, or Excel could have just sorted, like it was telling me, okay, this is the cheapest stock. I wanted multi-factor analysis, which is the cheapest, has the highest growth rates, best momentum, etc. And then I asked it, of course, like I said earlier, pretend you're a journalist. That was just more out of interest. So what were the results? Well, actually, the results weren't too bad, but there's a bit more to it than that. These were the ones it initially gave me from this year's data. And this is how it put it. Broadcom, Alpesh Value Growth Rating. That's my own proprietary rating based on the valuation of companies. And I weigh the importance of that based on academic literature, revenue growth, cash flow growth, and so on. Strong CROCI, cash return on capital invested. It's a formula invented by Deutsche Bank, used by Goldman Sachs Wealth Management for its wealthiest clients to forecast stocks. Low PEG and recent performance. And it came up with these three names, which actually aren't that bad. Having said that, I'd already led it down that route and pre-filtered quite a few. But it was interesting the names it came up with, because of course I still had, out of 10,000 stocks, data which was restricted only then to about 100. So at least it gave me some names to narrow down on and do further analysis on. But obviously we want to go a bit deeper than that, don't we? So I gave it the previous year's data. In fact, I picked a really difficult time, December 2021, and asked it to forecast 12 months ahead, knowing full well that 2022 was awful for the markets, even for companies, the data of which the fundamentals look good. Well, what happened there? This is where it continues to be interesting. It had a car crash. If I told you the top three stocks you selected fell the most in the subsequent 3 months, because it gave me three names based on 2021 data, and I can tell you, those three stank. One was Aon, one which interestingly now would hit my list. And you might say, well, you should have just extended your time frame. Nah, there wasn't enough correlation. Java securities and Cakebox. So I said, well, hang on, what's going on? And I told it. I fed back into the loop and said, actually, the ones you picked were pretty bad. What's going on? And once again, it improved because it learns. So, and this is where it's great as an educational tool for young analysts. It said, and this is where we know there's still room for the greatest neural network of all, the human brain. This is what it said. Well, when reassessing good and top stocks, consider the following factors, knowing full well that the ones it selected didn't actually go on to do that well. Financial health. Reevaluate the financial statements of the company. So reevaluate. Don't just pick and then forget. This is why I do a weekly market update. By the way, speaking of which, if you want that, go to arpishval.com/links. I do a weekly market update on Telegram and YouTube because we've got to reevaluate the financial statements. We don't just pick and then close our eyes. Business fundamentals. Were there any changes there which might lead to stock price declines? In other words, we don't just buy, hold, and forget. Because if we had with the stocks it picked, they looked great at the time it picked it. The fundamentals looked great, but they fell off a cliff. And speaking in, what are we, May 2023, the three it picked as its best also continued to stink, even though, in performance, even though the fundamentals looked good at the time of selection. But market sentiment change, macroeconomic factors change. But again, that wasn't enough. And this is great education for people who are new to investing. But again, that wasn't enough for me. So I asked it a few more questions. I said, well, what was not in the data which could explain 2022 poor performance in the stocks you picked? And again, some great educational information, the kind Warren Buffett might give you. Unexpected events, unforeseen events like management scandals. One of the companies had a bit of a management scandal. All of these other factors are things which couldn't be in the data and couldn't have been foreseen. And I did ask it, what could you have foreseen which was in the data now that I've told you that the stocks you picked looked great at the time, but went on not to do too well? The other things will seem obvious to you when you look back, but these are things which we so often forget. Again, why I do a weekly update. Poor financial performance. The companies could have reported disappointing financial results. Now, there's two types. Academic research tells us about poor announcements. Bad news, which is hard bad news, and bad news, which is soft bad news. Soft bad news is the type which is the economic outlook looks challenging. So the price falls, but then recovers. Hard bad news is our figures are disappointing, earnings have missed, and it looks like they're not going to do well in the future. There you get a fall, and it doesn't recover, it just continues dropping. And that was the nature of these companies. And there wasn't something in the data at the time which would have alluded to it. Which is why, of course, if there was something in the data, guess what? AI and I and everybody else would just be rich, because we'd just pick one stock. Which is why we still need to have at least more than one. Maybe not more than 40 or more than 30. Misjudgment of growth prospects. The initial analysis might have been overly optimistic about the company's growth potential, which could have led the stocks being overvalued and subsequently underperforming. Well, we allowed for that in the valuation, but it was at least still trying to give us some guidance. And this one was good. Number six, change in investor sentiment. Investor sentiment might have shifted. And it had. It shifted, if you recall, from 2021 to 2022 against stocks generally, but it shifted away certainly from growth companies. Could have shifted, causing a decrease in demand for stocks and a subsequent decline in their price. And then, of course, geopolitical factors. Now, if you map every single one of those things that ChatGPT said, there's a hell of a lot of stuff. The one thing that can map it probably the best is the human brain still. I could have created a bigger engine which could have given all these data points every single month, fed it in through an API and said to it every month, okay, these are your initial picks. At what point do you want to change this portfolio? But I didn't have the resource, the manpower, but also, and that day will come when we can, that's the future of private investing, but also, and there's more to come, I also would have then ended up trading the investments, which I didn't necessarily want to do, but there could be an algorithm there on the hedge fund side where you're actively trading these rather than the fund management side or TV presenting side. Let's look at another slide here, which gets even more exciting. What clues were in the data, I asked it, potentially? And it said, well, high valuation multiples, if the stocks These were the ones which it picked with good quality, but could have fallen. Now, none of these should have fallen into its top picks because we allowed for this. We allowed for ensuring there weren't high valuation multiples or high debt levels or declining revenue or declining earnings growth. Actually, what it's suggesting is we need to be more sophisticated than looking at year-on-year earnings. We need to be looking at the delta, the rate of change of earnings growth, potentially. Narrow profit margins, the direction of travel is important. Overdependence on a single product, how are you going to incorporate that in data? That's going to be qualitative data. So my point here is there remains a role for the human neural network, which is on qualitative data, taking a vast amount of not the actual physical data, the kind of data which a calculator can take on a ChatGPT can, but the qualitative data. Is this overdependence on a single product? I'm sure you could still algorithmize that and put that into some kind of form where you can tell it's only got one product. Negative industry trends or competitive pressures. These are things which at the moment I don't think humans do well. They rely on their qualitative nature too much and don't look at the hard figures too much and therefore have a narrow restriction because humans can only do too much on data. So I think there's a room for both parts. We haven't finished yet. There is a room for both parties to rely on each other. Anyway, the stocks it came up with for this year, you can have a look at my Telegram and YouTube channels. I'll share what some of those were. But the point is, I'll keep an eye on them. Given how it had done in the past, I don't necessarily want to go straight to them. Oh, I won't be a tease then. Okay, I'll tell you which ones they were. I'm going to put it on screen now. There you go. It said, combining these factors, the following stocks stand out. This is in May 2023. You can keep an eye out for these. I'm not saying they're necessarily my picks. I'm just saying to you, this is what ChatGPT May 2023 has picked, and I told it, pretend you're Warren Buffett and it's for the next 12 months. We'll see what happens. But imagine how much of that is to do less with the data, more with broader market conditions. Okay, that's enough for me for now. Don't forget alpershvidal.com/links. Keep an eye on my Telegram channel, my YouTube, and I'll give you more AI-based stock selections as well. Thank you very much.